Welcome to Seasoned. I'm Marisol Castro.
And I'm Chef Plum. And it's autumn in Connecticut, Marisol.
Yay!
I love this time of year.
Me too. It's
my
favorite
wife hates
time.
It.
Well, maybe we can bring her around.
I don't know. Well, there's a chill in the air. And you know what? We might even see our first seasonal snowflakes tonight.
No.
That's what they're saying. Wake up tomorrow morning, a little dusting of snow on the ground, you know? But listen, that doesn't mean just because there's cold outside and there's snow on the ground, that we shouldn't be using our grills. I mean, honestly, you got to grill, you got to use your smokers. I mean, who doesn't love a saucy pulled pork sandwich while watching football?
I love that. I actually live for that, especially now that baseball is officially over.
Oh, yeah.
All right. But yes, I've been known to plow snow out of the way just to get to my grill. So,
have you?
Yes.
Wow.
I will get to that grill. Coming up this hour, in case you have not figured it out already, we're talking barbecue. Four-time world barbecue champion Myron Mixon is Zooming with us, and he's ready to take your calls. Did you know, Plum, he's affectionately called the winningest man in barbecue?
Oh, I did. The man's an icon in barbecue.
I love it. So call and ask Myron for tips on how you might make your own winning barbecue. Our number is 800-720-9677. It's 888-720-WNPR. And while you're at it, call us and tell us what your favorite barbecue joint is in this fine state of ours.
You know, we have a lot of great barbecue places here in the state. Honestly, it's something I didn't realize until kind of recently. Like, just such great places like, you know, Hoodoo Brown or...
Well, you don't think of Connecticut as a hotbed of barbecue. Oh, speaking of Hoodoo Brown, I forgot I brought props today.
Oh, she has props. She's reaching into her bag. It's crazy. Oh, she has a Hoodoo Brown hat. I love it.
I will have to take a picture to our friends over at Hoodoo Brown.
100%. They'd love to see it. But we have great barbecue here in Connecticut. It's not fair to say that we don't, you know?
Yes.
I mean, you think of barbecue, you think of all the different styles, all the different places you can get great barbecue. But when I look for great barbecue, there's only one man I look for to get that from. It's the man of the hour, the man with the power. He's too sweet to be sour. Give it up, ladies and gentlemen. Barbecue icon, Myron Mixon. Myron, welcome to the show. How are you, my friend?
Welcome to Seasoned.
Glad to be here. I need to take you on the road with me for all my introductions.
Hey, listen, every good personality has a hype man. I'm happy to do it. I'll ride a coattail like a champion.
Oh, my gosh.
I need your energy. I don't seem to have that much energy right now.
Come on now. Listen, it's one of those things I think is great for people. It's why we wanted to have this show now when it's starting to get cool outside, to tell them and have a barbecue expert such as yourself on to help reassure people. Barbecue in the wintertime is fantastic.
It is. I mean, let me tell you this. I know everybody associates barbecue with being a summertime thing. But for us, I'm born and raised in the South. I live right here in Unadilla, Georgia. We're like 100 miles from Florida line. And for us, the best barbecue weather growing up, my dad had a takeout barbecue business. It was the wintertime. It was the fall and the winter. It was cooler. You could get out and run the pits, which these were old school pits, burn the wood down, shoveling coals. But also, this time of year was always called what they call hog killing weather, where you actually slaughtered the hogs, made the sausage, all these type things, put your hams and shoulders in the smokehouse, had your salt cured meats as well as doing your barbecue. And the reason for that, it was the wintertime. You didn't have to, the insects, you didn't have to worry about things spoiling because it was cold weather.
It was that.
So, this is the actual best time of year. This is the best time of the year for it, to what we call great barbecue. I love barbecuing in the winter.
I love it.
Now, with that being said, when I'm talking about winter, it cools off, I want to get about 32 degrees. I don't want to get down to 9 degrees.
Neither do we.
I'm not used to it. I know everybody that lives up north is, so they wouldn't mind it.
I've lived up north my entire life. I don't like for it to get below 32 Fahrenheit or Celsius either.
Well, I wouldn't want to be below 32 Celsius.
That's a whole different story. Myron, your latest cookbook is BBQ&A. Excellent title, by the way. So you talk about the barbecue lifestyle. What is that exactly?
It's people that like being in outdoors, but you got a lot of people that like to do a lot of things, from whether it's hiking or just being outside, sitting. But it's also about you like to be around your friends and family. And if you go back and you look generations, and this really started being a social thing for us families, maybe in the 50s, 40s, somewhere after maybe World War II, where people started getting the charcoal grills and everybody wanted to go outside and grill. And it's just really gone forward. And you've seen a big, in the last 10 years, 15 years, really, probably a big revitalization of people realizing it's fun to be outside.
Yeah.
It's fun to go and do things outside. And, you know, if you got a pool, be out around the pool. If you got a pool and somebody, there's a group out there, somebody's on a grill somewhere.
100%.
You know, if you load up and you go to a state park, and most of the time they're taking a grill or using one of the park grills to be outside. And that's part of the barbecue lifestyle. It's part of hanging out. You go to the beach. People are taking grills with them where they can grill at the beach.
He's right about that.
And yeah, I mean, it's always been a social food. I mean, the thing is, barbecue originally, you know, it started because of necessity. I mean, the pioneers that came here, they used the lumber or the woods for their fuel. They used the livestock they had or the animals in the woods as the meats they were going to cook. And they had large families, and that's what they fed them with. But as it progressed forward, and as we came on into the 20th century, it got to be a social thing. Whenever you had, you know, weddings, they cooked. Now we're getting back to that.
Mm-hmm.
But it used to be you cooked for weddings, barbecues. You cooked barbecues, you know, as bad as it might seem, but for funerals.
Yeah.
And nowadays, even weddings and wedding venues, that is a big thing now for the bride and groom to want to have barbecues now.
Well, especially in this day and age when they can eat outside with it, you can set it up outside, cook outside, have your group out there and feel, you know, some people who may don't feel safe inside or whatnot, they could be outside barbecuing.
Right.
Exactly right. And let me tell you what, we got wedding venues all around us here in South Georgia because we've got some of the beautiful landscape, the woods and old buildings and stuff like that. But, and that it, like you just said, that's then got to be a big thing too because of all the circumstances we've got around us. And they are doing them out in open air pavilions and outside. And it's just a very social food. Probably the most social food or food genre over any of them. You know, I love Italian. I love all these others. But barbecuing, grilling, smoking meats outside, that is about as social as it gets.
Yeah.
Sitting around the fire, having a cocktail, cooking a large piece of meat. That's what
right.
I like. That sounds like fun to me.
Yeah, I mean, if you fire off a grill, if you live in a subdivision, I guarantee you, whether you invited anybody over or not, you fire your grill off, you're going to have somebody from the neighborhood come over and hang
That's
out
right.
with you until you get it ready.
That's right.
That's definitely
for Ain't no way you're not going to stop it. I mean, it's just a different food.
Yeah. So, Myron, and Plum is obviously a chef, and he's far more well-versed, but I like when I have two experts in front of me. So talk to me about barbecue styles, because I love to eat barbecue. Plum knows I will eat anything I can break my teeth down with.
Which is crazy, because Minasaw is 5'1", you know, 5 feet of fury and 70 pounds. She can eat more than I can. I don't get it.
Well, you know, at some point we're going to take a road trip down and visit Myron.
Oh, yeah.
And do all the meats. But what is the different types of barbecue? What makes Memphis, Memphis? Carolina, Carolina? Kansas City, Kansas City?
Well, you got your, you know, historically those are regions. I mean, you got the Carolina region, which not only is in the Carolinas, it runs into Georgia. And all this was based off of, and when I'm speaking about these regions, it's about pork. You know, it was back in the day, traditionally, it was about pork. When you said barbecue, you thought about pork. Same way with Texas, when you say barbecue, that you're talking about beef.
Uh-huh.
But these regions that we're talking about today, there's still some pockets of the diehard region, like Carolina style, Texas style, Memphis style, the Kansas City style. There are some diehard regions that really stick to tradition. Not many, because everything is kind of done blended together. People
right.
have moved. You know, we're very migrating type people. I mean, you got people that's moved from, you know, up there where y'all are at, down here, and vice versa. And, you know, people coming in from the Midwest, moving to the South. People from the South moving out to California. I mean, just it's a blend. And that's not a bad thing. That's not a bad thing, because I think for barbecue to really to grow and survive, it needs to move forward, it needs to progress. But getting back to the regions, Carolina style has always been about the vinegar based mm-hmm. barbecue, mm-hmm. and it's about vinegar based pork. Same way for Georgia. Now when you get into Texas, it's more about the beef. Even though they grow a lot of pork out there, they serve pork now. Every barbecue restaurant now does it all. They do the sausage, they'll do the brisket, they'll do the pulled pork, they do the pork ribs, Some even do the beef ribs. But in Texas, it's all about the beef. A more tangy sauce, you know, and the sauces is what always define the region.
All right.
You
so
know,
speaking of sauce, I just want to remind listeners, if you're just tuning in, we are talking live to Myron Mixon. He is the winningest barbecue human this and that side of the Mississippi River. So call, ask him a question. Our number is 888-720-9677, 888-720-WNPR.
I have a question.
Is it about sauce?
Yeah, yes. It is about sauce, Mr. Mixon. If I don't mind asking you. So, you know, listen, we're up here in the north, and in Connecticut, we're called nutmeggers. And it inspired me to make a Carolina-style sauce, but I actually added nutmeg to it and a little pinch of cinnamon. And it came out fantastic. So
look,
I was trying to get Connecticut-style barbecue if we can make that a sauce, but I don't think anybody jumped on board.
Well, the thing about it is you hit on the thing. Now, we're going to talk a little bit just a second about competition barbecue. A lot of you winning contests, and I do it. I use allspice in some of my recipes.
Yeah,
I use cinnamon in some of my recipes for a contest. I mean, because it's a flavor profile that really hits. And so you hit on something, I don't know, by accident or whatever, but it was
delicious.
That's a good recipe.
It was delicious. It came
out. I mean, it is.
Fantastic.
I mean, allspice is one of my go-tos.
Yeah.
Or it's changing up if I want to change the flavor profile.
That's a good one.
Now, I'm talking about contest or doing it at home if you wanted to. But I want to tell everybody that's listening, you better call in and get your question asked, because I won't ever talk to you again.
I won't ever talk to you again. I'm going to start using that line. Before we get to a break, I need to understand you, the master of all things barbecue. Where do you get your spices? Where do you get your marinades? Do you have a guy? Do you scour the lower 48?
Do I have a guy? We make our own rubs and sauces. We've been selling them since 2005, and I've got like several different things. We just come out with our latest wild game seasoning and our steak seasonings, and so we used to make them all ourselves. Now I have to have them co-packed because we do such a volume, and FDA is such a regulated deal now on all those type of facilities. We had to start having them co-packed.
Wow.
But the thing is, you know, for small batch stuff, you can go to your grocery store to get those type spices. But if you want to get a little more boutique-ish about it, you can go online. You can find small boutique spice companies that will give you the freshest product out there. And you don't have to buy 25-pound bulk. If you like cinnamons, you know, you got different types of cinnamons out there. And if you want to go in there and get like a 1 pound bag or half a pound or whatever, 12 ounces of it. They got great little, I call boutique type spice companies where you can get those fresh spices, and fresh does make a difference.
I believe so. Regardless of what you're going to do to your meat, your proteins.
That's right.
Yeah. We're going to take a short break. We're talking to Myron Mixon. He's a world barbecue champion, a restaurateur, and the author of several barbecue cookbooks. His latest is BBQ&A, which is perfect. Because you can ask him anything this hour, including how to smoke a turkey for the holidays. We are actually going to get into that after the break. I'm Marisol Castro.
And I'm Chef Plum. Give us a call.
I ain't never had enough of nothing. I can't believe you're telling me this.
What are you talking to me?
Too much barbecue.
I mean, put some hot sauce on my chicken.
Welcome back to Seasoned. I'm Marisol Castro.
And I'm Chef Plum. We're hanging out right now with the one, the only barbecue icon, Myron Mixon. And you can call in and talk to us and get your chance to ask a barbecue champion a question. The number is 888-720-9677. That's 888-720-9677. Myron, how did you get into doing barbecue to begin with?
My dad had a takeout barbecue business, and he started me and my younger brother, he's 3 years younger than me. I started at 9 years old, and it wasn't him training me to be a world-famous barbecue pitmaster guy. He used me as free labor, like most kids that got in South Georgia. You know, I slept under his roof and sat under his dinner table, and he put clothes on me, so I had to get out there and work with him. And as I got older, I learned. And, you know, even begrudgingly, you know, a teenager, you don't really want to be doing that. You want to be doing what everybody else is doing. But I learned. And I took that and I started competing in 1996. And from there, it went into the TV shows, the cook schools and cookbooks and restaurants and everything else we got going, smoker divisions and sauces and rubs. Matter of fact, speaking of smokers, my Myra Mixon smokers are built right there in Waterford, Connecticut. That's at Seacon right.
Well.
How about that, huh? How about that?
Myron, may I ask if you can dig back into the vault of your brain, what was that first thing you cooked in your first ever competition when you were a wee lad?
My first contest, I cooked whole hog, whole shoulders, and pork ribs.
Wow.
I took a first place hog, first place ribs, and third place shoulder.
Wow. You nice. Even
Good
remember
you.
Which place he came in. Wow.
Of course he does.
I was in June of 1996 in Augusta, Georgia, and they got a big power dam over there, and it was called the Locking, like the locks on the dam. Mm-hmm. It was called the Locking Dam Barbecue Contest.
How about that? That's fantastic. Well, Myron was inducted into the Barbecue Hall of Fame in Kansas City in 2013, and we have a caller who's going to have an amazing opportunity right now to ask a Barbecue Hall of Famer a question. We've got Mike from Danbury calling in. Mike, what you got for Myron?
Well, I'm cooking ribs, and I need a faster way to cook them. I've been doing 5 hours. Is there a way to cook these really good ribs for your family in under 3 hours?
Sure. What temperature are you running are you grilling them or are you smoking them?
I smoke them on a Weber 275.
Okay. What pit temp are you running? What temperature are you running your smoker at?
About 275.
There you go. That's a great temp. Let me tell you what I would do. I'd get my rub and seasoning on. I'd put them on the grill for the first hour. I wouldn't touch them. You got to let that rub caramelize and set. On the second hour, I would roll them over upside down because the thinnest part of that rib is the bottom where the membrane was. You want to roll them over and let the heat hit the thickest part. You don't want to overcook the bottoms. I want them perfect. So I don't, I roll them. And I would spritz them every 15 minutes on that second hour. You got a good spritz recipe?
Yep. I think I'm using...
Let me give it to you right quick.
Listen. There you go. Write this down.
Yes.
All right. 32 ounces of apple juice. You want 1 pound, and it sounds like a lot, but do what I tell you. 1 pound of sugar.
1 pound?
1 pound of sugar.
Oh, my God.
1 pound of sugar. And McCormick's makes a imitation butter. And if your grocery store doesn't carry it, it'll be over where the vanilla flavoring's at, the spices are at, and all that kind of stuff. You can go to Amazon and you can get that imitation butter. It's a little 1 ounce container. You add that to the mix, get it just hot enough to dissolve the sugar, and put it in your sprayer. All right, first hour, you put the ribs on, they're right side up, 275. On that second hour, you roll them upside down. You take your sprayer and you spritz them right there at that top of that second hour. Then you wait 15 minutes. You want to get top and bottom. You want to make sure you hit the tops and the bottom. And you want to do that until the second hour's up. Then you want to get your aluminum. Is your smoker big enough to hold a full-size aluminum pan?
It's only 20 inches, so maybe.
All right.
Yeah, not.
It might. If it can, do the aluminum pan. If not, just do a sheet of aluminum foil big enough. How many racks you generally cook at a time?
2 or 3.
All right. Put all three of them in the pan. But this time, roll them back upright and put you 1 cup of apple juice in the pan. Cover it tight with the foil. Slide them back on that smoker and keep checking out. But it's going to take about, and keep running the pit at 275. If you can't fit the aluminum pan, do the same thing. Put them back upright in a bigger sheet of aluminum foil. Put that 1 cup of apple juice in it and seal it up. Make you like a little boat and put it back on that grill or smoker. Still running at 275 and you keep cooking. So we're on 2 hours. You're panning them or wrapping them, whatever your grill will hold. And about 45 minutes, a quarter till on that third hour, start probing. You want to undo it, take them, just get one on the top there in the pan and take your meat thermometer and go right in the middle of the rack. Between two ribs, you want to go in the middle of the rack between two rib bones, and when they hit 207 degrees, you pull them. They're ready. You add your sauce on the top and bottom. You add your sauce on the top and bottom. You put them back on your grill at 275, and you let that sauce set for 8 minutes. Then you pull them, you cut them, and you eat them.
Ooh. Look at that. That's there you go, Mike. You got a lesson right there from a barbecue icon. How about that?
Thank you. My family's going to love it.
There you go.
Well, I tell you what, guys, you get out there and start grilling.
Yeah, definitely get out there and start grilling. You guys can do just like Mike did and get a massive, massive, incredibly great lesson from a barbecue icon. Give us a call here at 888-720-9677. Or if you like the letters on your phone, Mike, you can do 888-720-9677 or WNPR. It's really simple. Mr. Mixon, one of the recipes we've got that I just love, especially this time of year, we've got to talk about here is a smoked turkey. You gave us a fantastic recipe. It's going to be on the website at ctpublic.org/season. You can check it out there for smoked turkey. Talk about that for a little bit for us.
Well, I mean, smoked turkey. I got different versions of the smoked turkey that I do. Teach one in the class. Which one of this? Is it got the brine to it?
Let me see.
I'm writing recipes for my next book coming out in May.
This is one you got a smoked stock going on. This one right now, a smoked stock.
Oh, and, really?
Yes, sir. And
well, read it off to me.
Yeah, I'm looking at it right here.
I do.
He has Myron has so many recipes floating around in his head.
This is the one here. You got let's see. We got a 12 to 15 pound turkey, 8 cups of smoked stock, 3 medium white onions, 4 garlic cloves, a cup of packed brown sugar, kosher salt, Jack's Old South honey money cluck rub. You put that on there to make me say that, didn't you? Or you can make your own rub. 2 cups of apple juice, and you get a recipe for the smoked stock and a recipe for the rub itself. This one looks great.
Right.
Doing it in the Dutch oven.
And that is an awesome recipe. And the honey money cluck rub is what you do after you, for the smoked stock. And the honey money cluck rub goes on the turkey before it goes on the smoker. But I tell people this all the time. I got another recipe I'm going to give you for a turkey also. They're going to have that recipe. You're going to post it, correct?
Yes, sir.
I'm going to give you one. It's a lot simpler than that one. They can have that one. That's more of a savory.
Okay.
That's more of a savory, and I love savory.
Me too.
Now, we're going to talk about turkey because you're getting into the season of it. In my cook classes, I do one a month. Turkey is one of the items that the class does. And everybody wants to be able to do a good turkey. Well, one recipe I'm fixing to give to you, this is for brining. Big on brining. I love to brine poultry. I love to get that meat infused because brining works very well with chicken and turkey. And a lot of times people get confused about brining and marinades. Marinades is about soaking meats or proteins in a liquid that's going to put flavor to it. Brining, number one priority of brining is bringing moisture into meat. And turkeys, especially the white meat, the breast meat, and chicken, it needs as much moisture brought into it as it possibly can because it's very lean in those sections of the bird. So the first ingredient for, and they need to be listening to this if they're going to get it because you're posting the other one.
Yeah.
To do this brining, I want somewhere around a 12-pound bird. I don't like big birds. I want around a 12-pound bird, and I like to use with the legs. I don't like to do just the breast. But you want, for this recipe, you want 3 gallons of water.
Okay.
You need this much liquid because you may want to submerge more than one. You may want to do 2, even up to 3 turkeys. You want 3 gallons of water. 1 gallon of that water needs to be hot water.
Okay.
1 gallon of that water needs to be hot water. The other 2 need to be cold. All right. You want 2 pounds of dark brown sugar. I like the dark brown better than the light brown. I like the molasses that comes in the dark brown. Then you need 4 cups of honey, whatever honey you like. Me personally, I like orange blossom that comes out of Florida. I like the orange blossom honey. You want 4 cups. You want 2 cups of kosher salt. 2 cups of kosher salt. You put all your ingredients in there from your sugar to your salt to your honey. And I always use a cooler. I have me a cooler about what you call a 48-quart size. I put that in there, and I dump that 1 gallon of hot water on top of the honey, the sugar, and the salt, and I dissolve it.
I get it
all dissolved. Then I take my other 2 gallons of water that's cold, and I pour in there and dilute it. Then I get my turkeys ready. I like to take a meat tenderizer, you know, with the little blades on it, and I like to tenderize all over. That helps the turkey be able to bring in all those liquids, bring in that salt. The salt causes the brining action to happen, where it brings moisture in. And if it's bringing in moisture, which is going to be the water, it's also going to bring flavor, because salt has a flavor. And you also got flavored water there with the honey, the brown sugar. It's going to bring all that into the meat also. Well, for a 12-pound turkey, you need to let that brine overnight, at least overnight. And I'm saying 12 hours. It wouldn't hurt to brine it for 24 hours. Now, 48-quart cooler, if you got a walk-in cooler like I do at my compound, you can walk it in there and let the lid stay back, and it's going to keep the turkey cold. Most people don't have that.
Right.
And, you know, most people's fridge, even though you might have, what is that expensive one you probably got in your house because you got more money than God itself. Even those Richie, all those high-end
fridges. You're talking about a Sub-Zero refrigerator.
Yeah, Sub-Zero.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Sub-Zero, there you go.
Hey, you're talking to a man who brines his turkey in a trash bag, Mr. Bixson. That's what I do.
All right. But anyway, you go and you take that. They won't fit. So what you do ahead of time, you take you two of your empty water jugs or two empty apple juice jugs that you've had around the house. You fill those up with water, go ahead and have them in your freezer and freeze them solid. All right, you got your couple of turkeys in that liquid. You reach up in the freezer and you get your two jugs of frozen ice with the caps on.
I see where you're going.
You set them down, you set them down in your cooler, and you lock the lid down, and you let them sit there and brine for 12 to 24 hours. Now, the reason I like to put the water in the jug is because you don't want to go in and grab a bag of ice and throw it down in it, because every bag of ice that's ever been made has got pinholes in it. And if you put it in there on top of those turkeys, it's going to melt. And when it melts, it's going to dilute your brine.
There you go. Okay.
In other words, it's not going to be the strength that you really want it to give the flavor that you're looking for at the end of the day. So you need to put it in the jug. Cap on, sit it down in there, shut that lid, and brine it for 12 to 24 hours.
That is a fantastic recipe, and I love
the
idea.
See, everybody got a freebie here. You got the recipe.
Yes, sir. Tons of freebies.
And then you get the one. And the thing about it is, the brown sugar honey one is more of a holiday feel to it.
Right.
Because we got Thanksgiving coming up.
Yeah.
And that's what you associate with things like that. Now.
Oh boy.
We talked about it a while ago. Cinnamon mixed in that might be a good idea, too. Or nutmeg.
I love it.
Absolutely. Well, we got another call coming in, Mr. Mixon, if you don't mind. We've got James from Greenwich has a question for you. James, what you got for Mr. Mixon?
Oh, I appreciate it. So I'm actually from Winston-Salem, North Carolina, but I live in Greenwich now.
Look at you.
And we actually moved from San Francisco, California, if you believe that. And everywhere I go, I see on the menus Carolina style barbecue, and just like Mr. Mixon said, typically that just means they use apple cider vinegar, but it doesn't always do it for me. And I can cook ribs at home. I can cook pork chops. I can cook I got pretty good feel for the grill and the smoker and all that. The one thing I cannot duplicate is the chop that I grew up with, that Lexington style chop that they'd almost, when you go into these barbecue places in my hometown, they would almost use like an ice cream scoop to put it on the bun, and then they take the slaw and put it on there. So that chop was real fine, and I got the smoke, I got the sauce, I can do all that. I can't duplicate that chop. Do you have any ideas for me?
Yes, I mean, have you ever watched them chop it? I can tell you how to chop it. I've watched them chop it.
No, that's the thing. When I would walk
the way they do it, the way they do it, if you're going some of those older ones like Lexington, you know, Lexington, it's world, but they got a chop board back there that's just, it's dipped out where they have chopped so much and it's actually gone into the wood. And they'll sit there with two meat cleavers and like they're playing the drums and they'll chop it into a mince. And the cool thing is the way they're cooking over direct heat, the way I learned to cook, they're not only chopping the meat itself, they'll put some of that crispy. And the only way you get crispy skin on anything, any protein, and pork is one of them, is direct heat. Mm-hmm. Whether you're grilling over direct heat or you're firing those pits direct heat the way they do, that's the only way you get crispy skin. You don't get that with offsets. You don't get that with water cookers. You don't get that with any other type of cooking, but that North Carolina style or old school style of direct heat. But with that being said, that's all you got to do. You got to, and you need to be careful. If you're going to use a cleaver, and I wouldn't do two of them, You know, me and you ain't that good yet with the Carolina boys. We don't. I don't want to see you later on in life and see you. They're calling you Nubby.
Oh my goodness, not Nubby.
That's right.
But James, what I would do, I'd get a meat cleaver or take my blade and just mince it up and get it to that fine texture you're wanting. Then sauce it, put it on your bun, and put your coleslaw to it. That's the only thing you lack in there. I'm just getting it that fine chop.
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
I'm just not going far enough. What
you're not going far enough, but I'm going to tell you something. I know a lot of folks listening might say, well, I ain't believing he said that, but I'm going to tell you this. You take you a small food processor, and you can get that same chop.
That's
watch
cheating.
It.
That's cheating.
Don't, I mean, I know we'll just keep it bumped. Just bump it every now and then and get that same deal.
And if all right. I appreciate you.
You're looking at the end result. You're looking at the end result. I mean, that's what you want. And a good food processor gets you to that point.
Well, there you go, James. You got a barbecue Hall of Famer.
And it will save your fingers.
Uh-huh. Thanks, James.
There you go. I need my fingers.
There you go.
All right. I appreciate it.
There he goes. That's James from Greenwich talking about a chopped barbecue sandwich. These things all sound delicious. I'm getting so starving myself.
So hungry. And it's about time we take a break. So who do you love, listeners? We're taking a short break, but we invite you to share your favorite barbecue spot with us by calling 888-720-9677. That's 888-720-WMPR. We have Myron Mixon. Call. Because he's not going to be here for a long time.
That's right. Call in.
Y'all better call if you want to talk to me, because when I'm gone, I'm gone.
Oh. Stay right there. We'll be right back. It's the season.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Seasoned Barbecue Edition. I'm Marisol Castro.
And I'm Chef Plum.
Barbecue Hall of Famer Myron Mixon is with us. He's taking your calls this hour. So if you need a trick for getting your rub to stick to your meat, or you're wondering why you need a rub at all, call us right now. Our number is 888-720-9677. That's 888-720-WNPR. I just need to, Myron, are you still there, darling?
No, I left a while ago.
That's what I figured. For those of our listeners that don't know this, not only are you the winningest barbecue ever. You're the mayor.
Oh, yeah. He's the mayor.
You are the mayor of Unadilla, Georgia. Population of
1,500.
1,500.
And it's Unadilla, like Una.
Like Una, like Unabrow. Unadilla.
Unadilla.
Listen, I'm Puerto Rican. If I see a word I don't understand, I immediately default to the Spanish pronunciation. You're lucky I didn't say Unadilla.
Yeah, you did.
Unadilla. Unadilla, how did you become the mayor? And as part of your campaign, did you make everyone barbecue?
Oh, yeah, I did. For sure. I did. I had a big barbecue. And you know, and my opponent said I was buying their votes for barbecue sandwich.
Oh, my gosh.
And I'm thinking, well, you know, it's better than giving them $5 bills or a half pint of liquor.
Listen, I don't blame you.
I love it. I love it.
But, yeah, I mean, I ran in 2015. We had an election that fall, and I got elected and took office in 2016. I just got reelected.
Congratulations.
Last year, started my second term this past January.
I would vote for you, that's for sure.
Especially if you're giving me some barbecue.
Right? Any kind of barbecue. Yep. And hey, if you throw liquor in there too, I'm all in. I'll give you two votes. I'll convince my wife to vote for you.
And we got a golf cart community. I mean, y'all come on down. I mean, if you ever move to Unadilla, you never go back to Connecticut.
We'll see. But I will take you up on driving down there.
That's
and
right.
Visiting.
Mr. Mixon,
I'll tell you what I'll do for you. I'll get a snow machine just to make you feel it.
There you go. He's going to make it snow. That's great. Hey, we got another call here. You ready for it? We got Mike from Stanford calling in. Mike, good afternoon. You got a question for Mr. Mixon.
Yeah. Hey, Mike. Great show.
Hey, Mike.
Hey, I'm one of those unfortunate people, whether by choice or by regulation, have to use a gas grill.
Mm.
Now, you're going to toss me off the air on this, but do you have any hints for us who are stuck with that?
Yeah, I understand that. I mean, gas grills, and I've done some things on that where you can take actual wood chips. Have you got one? Has yours got like a bank of burners, like three sets of burners, four sets?
Yeah, three sets.
Have you ever taken the wood chips, put them in the foil, and put them on one of the burners where it would do the smoke?
I tried that, but it didn't work real well. Maybe I just didn't do it right.
And let me tell you what, the only way you're going to make it work, it may work properly, is you got to soak those chips overnight. Yeah. But I can give you an easier solution to that. And the thing is, the gas grill does a great job in cooking meat. It does a great job in giving you the crust and stuff on there. The part that you're missing is always going to be the smoke that everybody associates with barbecue.
That's it.
And that's the only part that the gas grill really misses. And I agree with you. I always give that tip about doing the wood chips and stuff, because everybody's got a gas grill. They want to figure it out where they can get that smoke, you know. But I'll tell you a way to make that happen, and it works. I sell an item. It's called Hickory Salt, but I'm not the only one that does that. I'm not telling you to buy something of mine. There's some out there that's got apple wood smoked salt. Now, what you can do, and I'm telling you, it works awesome, is like if you want to do an injection, you're doing a pork butt on your gas grill. You take, you need about 24 ounces, 32 ounces of liquid if you're going to inject your pork butt. And I don't know if you like to inject, but I'm going to tell you a way to make this thing work for you. Take you about 32 ounces of apple juice. You take you about a half a cup of my hickory salt or anybody else's hickory salt or apple wood smoked salt, and you dissolve it in that 32 ounces of apple juice, and you inject your pork butt with it, and you let it set for about an hour. Then you apply your rub on the outside. Then I put a little light coat on top of that of the hickory salt on the outside of the pork butt along with your rub, and cook it from there. And that's going to give you that smoke flavor that you look for, because the hickory salt I have is made with actual hickory smoke.
Love it.
And most people's are too. I'm not trying to sell you something. I'm just telling you that will give you a great smoke flavor. Just use a great barbecue sauce at the end, and you got it whooped. I mean, you got a grill there. The gas grill gives you the bark. It gives you the crust. And, you know, all you need is that smoke flavor to give you the barbecue finish.
There you go, Mike.
Okay, Myra.
That's a great tip. Hey, do me a favor, Mike, just for me, though. Remember, just when you're barbecuing this and you're about to make this happen, you see some choices, don't buy liquid smoke. Just remember, the chef on the radio says
No. Don't buy the liquid smoke.
Don't buy that.
You get hickory smoked salt or apple wood smoked salt. If you go to my website, you can look at my hickory salt, or you can just Google that, and a lot of folks make it. But you make sure it's real smoke. It's real natural wood smoke, not somebody that's went and, you know, put some fake stuff on it. You want real hickory wood smoke on that salt. I'm going to tell you something else. I'm going to give you a quick little bonus. Like if you're making green beans, I like green beans a lot of times with my barbecue and stuff like that.
Okay.
Instead of using like regular salt, I salt it with my hickory salt. It gives that smoke flavor into my green beans.
Delicious. That sounds amazing.
That doesn't sound too bad.
There you go, Mike. There's a tip for you. Take it. Let us know how it comes out. Send us a picture on Instagram of it, all right?
Okay. That's great.
Thank you.
Good luck, Mike.
There he goes. You know, listen, I made a mistake, and listen, that's why you have Myron on. You can call here and talk to us about this and ask Myron about your mistakes. The number is 888-720-9627 or 888-720, if you like the letters, WNPR. Myron, I have to be honest with you. One time I was trying to smoke some mangoes, and I was a young chef coming up, right? I wanted a smoked mango, and I must have smoked those mangoes for hours and hours and hours. But you know what no one ever tells you, Mr. Mixon? That if you don't fat on there, that smoke's going to do nothing.
Oh, right.
If you don't have what on
if
there?
If there's no fat on there, it can't. There's nothing to absorb that smoke. So my mangoes didn't take any smoke until I put a little bit of oil on them, and they took all the smoke.
That's exactly right. And you are exactly right.
When I do peaches,
I put a little bit of oil. Vegetable, I like something that's neutral.
Right.
And I like something that I don't want anything that's going to put flavor to it. I want something neutral because I want whatever fruit it is I'm grilling off. But I like something neutral on that. That's the same way with ribs. And I'm fixing to give an answer to something. Maybe somebody's thinking that they don't want to call in.
Yeah.
But I like to put vegetable oil on my ribs, on my pork butts, on my whole hogs, anything I'm doing to make the rub adhere. It's neutral. It doesn't have a flavor, but it helps my rub and seasoning stick. I don't like to use mustard because mustard does have a flavor. And I tell people all the time, mustard seed, ground mustard seed, that's a strong, strong flavor. You know, and some people love it. They love to rub their meats and stuff down in mustard and then cook them. But I like for my stuff to be neutral because I want you to taste my rub, my injection, Everything else, I don't want you tasting mustard. You know, I ain't cooking hot dogs.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So we got another recipe that we're going to put up on the website at ctpublic.org/season. Myron, it's your easy backyard brisket. I mean, this looks like an amazing recipe here. It looks super simple to do, and it's definitely one of those things you can pop in there, and then it looks like have a cocktail. I think that's actually one of the instructions in the recipe is to have a cocktail.
Step two, make a cocktail. Step one, get your smoker going.
Is that
going.
Like
Step
mandatory,
two,
have a cocktail?
Yes.
That's it. Talk about this recipe here. We're using brisket. We're making, you got a whole recipe for a marinade on here. This looks delicious.
Think about it, is brisket is probably the number one protein that people have the most trouble with. And most of the time it's because they don't cook it long enough and they don't get it to temp and, you know, internal temps. But the other reason is they don't let it rest. And one of the key things you got to do, especially with a brisket or any big meats. And when I'm talking about big meats, I'm talking about, you know, whole shoulders, pork butts, which is part of the shoulder. All of those things, you got to sit there and you got to let it rest before you start breaking it down, slicing it or anything like that. If you don't, you can do everything perfect right up to you take it off when it hits internal doneness. And if you don't let it rest, you know, I'm not going to say it's throwaway time, but it's not as good as it could have been.
Mayor Mixon, we have a caller. Yeah. And I wonder if this caller is going to ask about brisket.
You know, we got Dan calling from North Franklin. Dan? You got a barbecue icon on the phone here. What you got for him?
I know, Mr. Mixon. I just want to say it's an honor to speak with you. Thank you very much.
Well, how you doing?
Good, very good. So I don't have a question about brisket. I apologize for that.
It's fine.
I do have this question. And basically, it's because, and my wife will attest to this, I have asked every person that I know, every butcher here and there, and maybe I'm in the wrong foot already because I'm up north and we don't have the right people to ask.
Uh-oh.
But the question is, and I get answers all different types. Before I get into the sauces and all the rubs, I need to start on the basic word of making the perfect rib, the fall-off-the-bone rib. Now, what I have to work with is an oven and a Weber gas grill. So can you shed any light to me? How does one make fall-off-the-bone ribs with what I got?
Did you listen to my last answer, I think one before the first caller, about ribs? Did you hear that?
Yeah, so I did hear about the spritz.
You heard the spritz or didn't hear the spritz?
He did hear the spritz.
I did hear the spritz.
I think this caller doesn't have a smoker. It sounds like he has an oven.
And a grill.
And he has like a propane grill. Yeah.
Yeah.
I tell you what, the same recipe would apply. You would do the same thing with these right here. If you want to do them in your oven, but I will tell you, we're going to modify that a little bit and go back to something we referenced with the last caller. You would take your ribs, and I would take my vegetable oil. And let me tell you about using that. It's going to help the rub it here. I put a little bit of vegetable oil on both sides, put my rub on both sides. I would add a little bit of the hickory salt, not a heavy coat of it. You want to get you some hickory salt. And you can find it. It's out there, and it's not as hard to find as you might think. I sell it. A lot of people sell it, but you want to make sure it's real smoke, hickory salt. Put a little light layer on it, top and bottom, push it in. Do not actually rub it. You don't want to actually rub it with your hands because you want an even coat of seasoning. If you start rubbing it, you make one spot thin. The other spot will be thick. So just push it in. And in your oven, I'd put it like on a sheet pan. I'd put a little bit of water under the bottom. I'd have a sheet pan with little sides on it maybe, or a full-size aluminum pan, and just put them upright. Put maybe a half a cup of water in. And the reason I'm telling you to put the water in there is you don't want to start a grease fire with your ribs start rendering. Put them in the oven, and I would cook them for 1 hour at 275. 1 hour for 275. Then if you had a cookie sheet rack that would fit inside of that pan, I'd put it down in the pan and roll them over and put the ribs upside down. Same process that I told the gentleman a while ago that's actually got a grill or smoker. And I would cook them for that whole hour upside down. But if you got the spritz recipe, you need to go in there and spritz every 15 minutes, just like you would do if you were cooking on your smoker. Same thing. Then after that first hour is up, that second hour is up, you roll them back upright, you cover them tight with aluminum foil, and you would cook them for about the next hour because you want them thaw off the bone. So about the next hour is going to get you the fall off the bone, even without having to check the temp. But the temperature you want to get in between the fingers of the ribs is 207. Fall off the bone, you probably want to take it up to around 210. If you want them fall off the bone, you take it to 210 degrees with your meat thermometer checking in the middle of that rack between two bones, and they will be fall off the bone.
Oh, that sounds amazing. Look, Dan, there you go. From an icon helping you out there. Thanks for your call, Dan. Let us know how those come out, all right?
You got it. Thank you very much.
You got it. You got it.
You're very welcome.
So, Mayor Mixon, I really like the way that sounds. I hope you don't mind that I'm referring to you by your title.
I like it, too.
Okay. Before we go, what are you going to cook this weekend? It's Halloween, for crying out loud.
This weekend, really hadn't decided, but I'm sure it's going to be down the lines. I like to do things that are quick.
Okay.
I mean, I do a lot of long cook stuff. And people ask me, like, now the holidays, we will get in, I'll cook brisket and I'll cook turkeys, things we talked about here today. But when I do things at home, I don't like to be tied up on the grill out here a long time.
Good
I love grill
you.
Foods. I love smoked foods. But I'll do stuff like, and probably this weekend, my wife has asked me about, we ain't had it in a little while, is my sausage stuffed pork tenderloin wrapped in bacon. We call it the triple P.
Love it.
We use pork sausage and pork bacon, and the tenderloin, of course, is pork, and you can grill those off in about an hour and 15, hour and a half, because, and I always use smoked sausage. And I tell people this, when you're doing the items or you're doing a recipe that requires you stuffing with sausage or requires you wrapping with bacon, and it's going to cook fast, like bacon wrapped shrimp. Everybody loves to do those.
Yeah.
Well, bacon wrapped chicken livers, always use the cheapest, thinnest bacon to wrap those items. Don't go out here and get your upscale, thick applewood smoke.
That thin stuff will cook faster and get nice and crispy.
Looks like a darn ribeye steak. So
yes.
Thick.
Well, Mayor Mixon, whatever you're cooking, it sounds delicious. We could talk about this all day.
Absolutely.
But we're getting the hook from our producers.
They're screaming at us. They're screaming at us.
One more thing.
Please.
The reason you want to use the thin sliced bacon is you want to make sure the bacon is done when the protein is done. That's why you use the thin. You don't want to use the thick. You want your bacon to be crispy. You want the shrimp to be done, but you want the bacon to be done, too.
Well, that sounds amazing. That's a great tip right there, Mr. Mixon. We can't thank you enough
for
your time.
So now y'all can blow me off. Now you can.
No, come on now. Come on.
Are you kidding? I'm going to tell you and your wife to get the guest room ready.
That's right.
Because I'm taking a field trip down there. Because, you know, you're going to have a snowmaker for me.
And I'll rent the snow machine.
A Season is produced by Robin Doyon-Aiken and Katie Tolarski. Thanks to Gene Armentruda and Carmen Baskoff, who helped out with today's show. Mr. Mixon, we appreciate you so much.
Love y'all. Appreciate you having me.